This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Michael Phillips, as usual, on a Monday. Your calls next at 4:30 at 301-230-0980 on a Tell the Truth Monday. But it is time to continue with our pick six. We talked about Jaden Daniels and how bad the Carolina Panthers were to get things started. Let's keep it rolling with our final six. Sorry, seven. Math, never my strong suit. But if there's 10 things from the game, we did three. That would mean there's seven left, starting with
number four.
The game flow in this game is something that I talked about a lot last week. Logan and I did on Take Command as well. And ta-da! Don't we look like a bunch of geniuses? And yeah, the Panthers were really bad, but they also, there's a version of Carolina that's can compete, especially offensively. And that version of them runs the football. Andy Dalton gets some matchups here and there, and he can deal a little bit. That version never had a shot once the opening drive happened, because they actually had that version for the first part of the opening drive. And then Andy Dalton threw a pick six, and then things went downhill. Why? Because Carolina abandoned the run. They tried to chase the game, and they had no shot. And I told you that if this thing gets the wrong way for Carolina score-wise and they have to chase it, it could get really, really ugly. And sure enough, 40-7 later, sometimes your boys know what they're talking about. And although I feel like sometimes we can talk about that game flow stuff and how it can magnify strengths and weaknesses, you know, and it feels like it's almost too obvious. This is an example of why it can be so, so important.
Number five.
Number five. One of the guys that changed the game. Fedarian Mathis is really large, really strong, and really hard to move. And that dude came in the second series of the game after Johnny Newton had gotten moved a little bit. They obviously have the end-around play as well. That's the big, you know, mover for the Panthers on the first drive. But on that second drive, Johnny Newton starts next to Daron Payne. And they tried to run the football again, and it was like, nope, nowhere to go. And in the first drive, double team, big movement on Newton. And Johnny's still figuring things out at this level. Like, he's a rookie. That's going to happen. He has some really special moments that you see the flashes and you're like, man, this guy's going to be really good when he figures out the basic stuff. Big Phil's just like, I am not moving. And so they try to move him on a double team, and Daron Payne has an enormous amount of space to go make a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Linebackers have more room to flow. And so I did kind of wonder about this last week, sometimes aloud on the show, of, well, Newton is the obvious next man up in the rotation. Is it actually smarter to play Big Phil on first and second down, especially against teams that want to run the football, because of how hard he is to move in the run game? And I think that theory showed some credence with how well he played. And like Sheldon Day, same thing. He's a big, big dude. And they're not going to give you a ton of the pass rush. You know, if a team's running a bunch to the outside, they might not give you as much mobility to chase plays down. But they're also going to hold up the blockers from getting out there. It makes your linebackers and safeties getting downhill better. And I think you saw that in this game, in the very small amount of time that there was actually a run game to be dealt with for Carolina.
Number six.
Number six. obviously, Dante Fowler had an unbelievable day. I think most people probably also realized Daron Payne had a really good day. The thing I want to point out is how well they played together. Those guys have now started to figure out how to hit some of the timing and some of the angles and some of the nuances on these stunts and twists, and that's going to lead to a lot more of, I don't want to say days like yesterday. I mean, Dante Fowler's been playing for like 12 years. That was his first career interception. So I'm not going to say, hey, they're going to figure out how to pick six a whole bunch. But I do think both of them making plays behind the line of scrimmage is going to happen more consistently moving forward. Yeah, I mean, Carolina's O-line is actually not that bad. But they figured out ways to just absolutely destroy it. And the way they played off each other, the tenacity with which both of them are playing, their speeds are matched up, and yes, each of them individually did really good stuff, but often it was the other one on that left side of the defensive line that were, you know, responsible for the play. So if, like, you know, Payne makes a play, go watch what Fowler did. It was something really good. If Fowler makes a play, go watch what Payne did. It was something really good, and it freed that guy up to be the playmaker that both of them are.
Number seven.
Just a round of applause. Emmanuel Forbes, good to see you. And I think the obvious is, hey, got a pick. Love that. Dalton threw it right freaking to him. I mean, Forbes played that very, very well. The receiver played that horrendously, but he did play it really well. He's playing quarters coverage. You know, he could have got caught way outside, but he realizes there's no one. He's playing on the defensive left. There's no one to my left. All that's over there is a sideline. So instead of just going and, you know, standing in the middle of my Madden bubble, if you will, I'm gonna go actually follow this receiver inside, and I'm gonna latch on because that's my job. That's what you're coached to do. And he gets right inside. You know, Dalton thinks, oh, I got this easy because the safety that's typically in that quarter of the field has played a little bit deeper, has been pulled back. And instead of a window, there's Emmanuel Forbes. So that, good work, Emmanuel. That's how you play zone. Very well done. But I think the other thing that was interesting and worth following, a note, if you will, for moving forward, is he was also out there on special teams. He was out there, I believe, on punt return, you know, as a blocker and as a gunner on the side. And that means he can stay up as opposed to being the inactive guy. So that, you know, as the injuries and different formations and different personnel packages are being used moving forward, even if he's not an every down starter, like, let's have that guy available because he's big and he's tall and he's rangy and all the things that made him a first round pick. And maybe he can develop some confidence and earn his way back on the field. But the fact that he was out there on special teams, I think, is a good sign. Obviously, that means he's willing to do it. He's not, like, obstinate about it. But in practice, obviously, they saw enough to say, hey, Emmanuel, you're up this week. Let's go get him.
Number eight.
Speaking of special teams, damn, these dudes hit. Dan Quinn is literally like, if you play safety for me on this team, you're going to be on kick coverage, and I want you to just pretend it's a running play. And that's basically how they cover kicks. And it is a race between Derek Forrest, Jeremy Reeves, Jeremy Chin, like Quan. They're all out there. And it is free for all to the ball. And they arrive, and they arrive with bad intentions. And Nick Ballore's like, I want to race too. Jeremy McNichols is like, I want to race too. Those dudes hit. And not only is that going well on special teams for Larry Izzo and company, but Austin Eckler's having an unbelievable year as a returner. Like, you know, obviously Carolina doesn't kick off in the first half because they didn't score. And they come out, kick off the second half. Eckler returns it to like the 40-yard line. What? That's just like how he rolls. I don't know why you kicked him right now. And so from offense, defense, and special teams, A's across the board in this game for sure. And the last piece of special teams, by the way.
Number nine.
How about just another perfect day for Austin Seibert? It wasn't pretty all the time. Couple of extra points that were, one in particular that was very squirrely. You're like, I didn't, that ball looked like it hit the ground and then bounced up and through the uprights. Like, that was a weird, odd duck. So clearly, you know, there's some stuff hidden deep in the demons of Austin Seibert's right foot that still occasionally try to pop out, but he hasn't missed from under 40. He's barely missed at all in his career in Washington. He has the one block kick. And to think about how much consternation there was for good reason in training camp. And we just kind of said, hey, eventually they'll find someone that's going to get cut by another team. They had a guy in mind. They went and got him. It worked out. Bang, bang. And good for Austin Seibert to continue to be perfect. Last but not least, back to the Panthers real
Number 10.
Can they please just free Bryce Young? I don't necessarily disagree with like what Matt Ryan said at halftime, where he said, I wouldn't play him in this game, talking about Carolina, Washington. I wouldn't put him in, even though you're up or down 27-0, because I want him to get the week of practice. But Dave Canales said again today, we got a plan. You know, we're not changing from that plan. Ian Eagle was talking about the broadcast. Oh, you know, they say they've got a plan. They just don't want to tell anybody what it is. Canales today was asked again about trading Bryce Young. And he's like, well, some things might change because they initially said no. If Bryce Young isn't ready to come in a game and get valuable experience to just play some reps where it's not going to make him worse, when you're down 27-0 and the game could not have any less pressure on it, then you need to trade him to someone who believes in him. This dude was, I don't want to say the consensus number one pick, but over CJ Stroud, most people liked him. And I'll admit, like, I didn't study these quarterbacks nearly as obviously closely as I did this year's crop, because Washington wasn't in the market for one last year based off their draft position. But they, like, I liked Bryce Young a lot. And what he did at Alabama was pretty big time. He's really smart. And there's just no way that he should be this unplayable. And if he is, it's reflective of the organization as much as it is the player. So trade him to another organization. There is someone out there right now who would give you a decent pick for the guy who was 1-1 overall last year. This wasn't 3 years ago. It's not like, hey, rookie contract. We only got him for a couple. You got him for two more years after this before the fifth-year option if you wanted to try him out for size in the offseason. But just bring him in now. And so I don't know what team, you know, if I was Miami, I would have tried a couple weeks ago. Now Tua's coming back. But if Bryce Young can't get in this game, like Carolina, free Bryce Young. Not saying you made a mistake in not putting him in, but if he's not ready to come in this one, you got to trade him somewhere else so they can get him ready to be in a game eventually, because this is nonsense. Anyway, aren't you glad that Washington got their quarterback right? Probably feel a little better if he was healthy, eh? 301-230-0980. It's Tell the Truth Monday. Your thoughts on the 40-7 Washington win. 301-230-0980. Tell the Truth Monday next for the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.